Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Bernie Miklas Report, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. It is time to talk to KMOX sports contributor expert Bernie Miklas, who is with us, who was around for the 1999 Rams team that, again, 25 years ago, won Super Bowl 34. Bernie, happy anniversary to you as well.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. It was a great, great season. It was really unbelievable. And it remained a thrilling season. It was like really start to finish, but then just the way it ended, with just spine-tingling drama with Mike Jones making the tackle a yard away from the end zone on the final play. This coming about 2 minutes after Kurt Warner hit Isaac Bruce for a 73-yard touchdown pass to break his 16-16 tie. It was just an extraordinary experience covering it and watching it. I can only imagine, like on that Super Bowl Sunday, what it must have been like for everybody in St. Louis who loved the Rams watching that game together, huddled with family, friends, whatever. I know that in the press box, Jim Thomas and I were pretty much going bananas, other than, you know, you had to sort of keep it to yourself. But it was just an unbelievable game.
Yeah, no cheering in the press box, Bernie.
Yeah.
No. But Jim and I always had a reputation for talking real loud in the press box. So I'm sure.
Not you.
People, yeah, not me, right? I you guys must have to turn down the volume every time I'm on. So I do talk loud. I apologize.
We love it.
We love it. And you're not as bad as Kevin Wheeler.
Oh, but, dude.
No, it was so much fun, Bernie. And I've said this 100 times, but it just spoiled me for what football was. And in the middle of it, even though it does feel like this euphoric high the entire season into the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you still can't comprehend quite how extraordinary it is and how it will never happen again. Like, that's in the middle of it. There's even with the Chiefs going for their three-peat in the Super Bowl, it's different than what the greatest show on turf was.
Yeah, the Chiefs never did something like this, and I'm not slapping the Chiefs, but I'm just saying, I don't think anybody in the history of NFL did this. You know, the context is required. You know, the first season they were in St. Louis, they won 7 games. Then the next season, it was 6 games. Then the next season, it was 5 games. Then the season before the greatest show year, they won 4 games. They were taking this escalator down, down, down. 4 consecutive losing seasons, 4 wins before in the season before 1999. How do you go from that? Well, we know how Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, and so many others, but how do you go from a 4-12 season to going 13-3 in the regular season and then sweeping the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl? I mean, that's just highly unlikely. I was doing some back reading real quick. ESPN, the magazine, remember that? I like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Before the 99 season, they did their power rankings, and ESPN, the magazine, rated the 1999 Rams the worst team in the National Football League going into the season.
Awesome.
I mean, it just underlines the drama and how wildly improbable this was.
So at what point of the season, you know, you're covering it, the Trent Green injury, Kurt comes in, you know, has some pretty quick success, but was there a point where you thought, okay, this is actually legitimate, this isn't smoke and mirrors?
Well, you know, the first game, Warner came out against a great Baltimore Ravens defense and passed for 3 touchdowns, his first NFL start. And I remember, you know, Rams coaches were like, wow, this guy's actually pretty good. And then there was a game in Cincinnati early in the season where Oz Akeem returned a punt for a touchdown. Warner went nuts throwing touchdowns everywhere. And I remember, you know, Kurt Warner almost snapping at reporters from out of market, not St. Louis guys and women, because people were just sort of asking questions like, well, isn't this a cute little story? You guys aren't too bad and all this stuff. And you know, Warner by then already was basically in this mindset. It's just like, you know, we've got a great team here, okay? Quit treating us like little underdogs. So, and I just thought, well, they're starting to feel it. Ironically enough, The game that told me the Rams were for real was a game that they lost. It was at Tennessee, because the storyline going into that game is like, well, this fancy Rams offense and, you know, all these finesse players and all this and all that. But they're not tough. They're not tough. Wait till they go to Tennessee, and they're going to take on a tough, tough team, and we'll see what they're all about. Now, even though the Rams lost the game, they got off to a terrible start. They came on at the end so strong, like, you know, metaphorically speaking, you know, punching the Titans in the mouth, that Tennessee barely held on to win that game. And I said, I remember saying, talking about it, and says, you know, this actually validated the Rams as being a hell of a football team, even though they lost, because everyone thought they would crumble. Oh, someone's going to hit them hard, and oh, the greatest show stuff's going to fall apart. And they were like, nope. And even though they lost the game, they proved the point that day.
Speaking of the greatest show falling apart, I remember watching the Rams play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to battle for a spot in the Super Bowl, which they won 11-6. We brought up Ricky Pearl's catch. That was kind of stunning in and of itself to be in a championship game, and the greatest show on turf wasn't greatest showing seemingly, and yet they still won that game.
Well, that's exactly right. And see, that reaffirmed what a lot of us who covered the team and watched the team thought, that the Rams were plenty tough. You don't be confused by the beautiful offense. The Rams at their core were a really tough team. I mean, their defense was fourth in the league in fewest points allowed. And they didn't really give up a lot of yards. But the Tampa Bay game was amazing. It was, in effect, so scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, they came very close, mm-hmm. very, very close to getting knocked off. That Tampa Bay team always gave the Mike Martz Rams a lot of trouble. Because you know why? Because they were really, really, really fast. They could match the Rams team speed on the field. But when the Rams survived that game, it was such a close call. And they really did get beat up in the game. And they did their part of beating Tampa Bay up. Well, it was an incredibly physical game. You had the feeling, it's like, there's just no way they'll lose this Super Bowl. And it got a little hairy, obviously, in the second half. The Rams missed a lot of chances in the first half. Mm-hmm. They had five red zone opportunities and only got three field goals out of them. So they left the door open for the Titans, and the Titans ran the ball like crazy in the second half. But again, the mental and physical toughness, the Rams made the play to save the game. Yeah. So they proved every test that was put in front of them.
And I'll always appreciate the Rams for winning that Super Bowl and upsetting Tom Hanks's wife in Castaway, because she was awful, and she lived through the Super Bowl, and she's like, we lost by 1 yard, and I'm like, you know what, you deserve it because you were cheating on your husband.
That is
it's true.
I feel like that is an underappreciated angle.
It's absolutely true. She was definitely cheating on him with the dentist. So,
oh my gosh, that I just can't stop thinking about this team. How fun!
I know
it was so fun.
Looking at the score, like throughout the season, Bernie. At that time in 1999, it was just not very common for a team to be scoring 38, 42, 41, 43. Right. I mean, they're constantly in the 40s, in the upper 30s. The offenses just didn't operate like that at that time.
No. You know, here's a stat for you, because, you know, I am, of course, stat boy. in their first four seasons in St. Louis, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Rams scored 30 or more points 12 times in four seasons, right? The 1999 Rams in the regular season scored 30 or more points 12 times. So they did that. They scored 30 plus points 12 times in one season, which matched what the previous four Rams teams did over four seasons. I mean, wow. I mean, and then, you know, it continued from there. I mean, they led the league in points over the next 2 years too. And over the 3 years, they averaged about 32.6 points per game. That had never been done before in the NFL at that time, to average over 30 points, over a three-season period. So they were the top offense in NFL history at that time.
Yeah, and I feel like that 99 Rams team really did recalibrate offenses and how you viewed an offense on an NFL team. And just like you mentioned, Bernie, coming from just the absolute depths of hell. I mean, I was a Rich Brooks, Tony Banks Rams fan. I was 12, so I can't explain why Todd Kinchin was my favorite player. And I wrote him a letter and said he's my favorite, but he needs to hold on to the ball. He sent me an autographed card back, which is great. I can't believe I did that. But just, you know, how much, what that team meant to St. Louis, because we lost the St. Louis Cardinals. Then you get a Rams team and you're so excited and all the PSL drama. And then they're terrible.
What's a PSL?
Yeah, I know. That first season.
It was.
That first season was a lot of fun. And those games at Busch Stadium before the Dome opened, the Rams played, I think, their first three games, might have been two or three games at Busch Stadium, the previous Busch Stadium. Those games, you know, that outdoor setting, it was just a fantastic atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I really love that. But no. You know, and then we haven't even just mentioned, you know, the fairy tale of Kurt Warner. I mean, the night that Trent Green got his knee blown out on a cheap shot by Rodney Harrison in the third preseason game, and Trent Green was really, really, really good. He came in there and took charge of that team. He became the team leader. He changed the culture. And it looks like the Rams were going to have something going with Marshall Faulk, Trent Green, Isaac Bruce. They drafted Torrey Holt. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking, hey, you know, they have a chance to be pretty good. They have a chance to be good, you know. And all of a sudden, he gets destroyed, his season destroyed on a cheap shot by Rodney Harrison. And I remember calling Rams executives that night. I had, you know, good terms with them and everything. I talked to Jay Zigman, I talked to John Shaw, and they just could not be consoled. I mean, they were just numb. They were so down. They were so depressed. They really could hardly speak. They were so just down and out. And so you go from that to the drama later that night and the drama of Sunday morning, because Dick Vermeil wanted to see if they could talk Jeff Hostetler out of retirement. And Mike Martz sort of intervened. And I'm not saying this to make Dick sound bad, because actually that was a good idea to see if Hostetler would come out of retirement. But Dick Vermeil went to Mike Martz and he says, well, what do you think about Kurt? What do you think about him? And he said, Dick, to be honest with you, we're going to be fine with him. He said, I've been tougher on him than any player I've ever coached. I'm in his face all the time. I berate him. I just grind him. And nothing fazes this guy. Like, he loves pressure. He loves being confronted and told he's not good enough. He said, we're going to be fine with him. He can make all the – we're going to be fine with him. And that's when Dick Vermeil came out later that day and, you know, was crying at the news conference. You know, I always forget the quote. I mess it up. But, you know, Kurt Warner's our quarterback and we're going to win with Kurt Warner.
Rally behind crying. Kurt, yeah.
Rally behind there. Thank you. And, you know, Mike Martz was right. He was right. I remember Jim Thomas and I talking to Kurt Warner that night. It was no other media was around. It was a Sunday night and it was the first chance to really interview him at length. And I thought he was remarkably confident without being cocky and remarkably poised. And I wrote a column the next day, Post-Dispatch, that said, hey, rally around the barnstormer. This guy might be better than we assume. And I didn't predict what was going to happen. But I just said, hey, don't like act like this is some joke. I mean, this guy's actually got something going.
Yeah, we just talked to him, about 40 minutes ago, I guess, a half hour. And he said that something along the lines of there will never be another story like this, which I mean, when is it going to happen that right. A team with high hopes going in loses their quarterback before the season and a backup that nobody knows carries them all the way through, then eventually becomes a Hall of Famer on top of it. The odds of that happening are almost zero. So he's probably right. I don't know that will ever happen again.
I don't think it will. And you know, another interesting angle to all this, and if you hear it now, you'll say, well, what were they doing? The Rams must have been crazy. No, they realized that they were in no danger of losing Kurt Warner. But the Cleveland Browns, they got a team from the NFL. And 1999, they were an expansion team. And they had an expansion draft, which was after the 1995 season. Excuse me, the 1998 season. And the Rams did not protect Kurt Warner. Like, the Cleveland Browns could have drafted him. But no one knew who Warner was except for the Rams, and they knew, well, there's just no way they're going to draft this guy. There's some veteran quarterbacks on that list, and they're going to migrate that way. So they took a gamble, but can you imagine if even if Kurt Warner had been drafted by the Browns in the expansion draft, I don't think there would have been any growling in St. Louis because we didn't know about him. He was kind of an intriguing guy with his background. You
just
know,
no way to know.
Right. And there's just no way to know. But that what a calculated risk and a successful risk that was that Charlie Army and Dick Vermeil took.